Have you heard it said that there's good in all of us? That basically humanity and people are good. If you look long enough, hard enough, you'll find the good in all of us. We've got to strive for the good that is in us. Is that biblically true? I would challenge you to consider what Scripture has to say about who we are and how we are sinful to the core. That there really is nothing good in us apart from the goodness of God. Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I pastor Mumfordville Baptist Church. And this week, as we read through the Psalms together, we're reading Psalms 14 through 18. And in Psalms 14 through 18, we find that this issue of our goodness or lack thereof is addressed. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they do abominable things. There is none who does good. Here we find that the description of the fool in the Bible is someone who practices practical atheism. They live as if there is no God. They treat life as if all that matters is what they can see, taste, and touch, that they are the master of their own universe, that they control and call the shots. These individuals are walking all around us. Maybe you're one of those individuals listening today that you live as if God really doesn't exist. Oh, unless maybe you need him. You experience a crisis or a difficulty and you run to the God that previously you said did not exist. The truth is that we are all corrupt. We do abominable things. And there is none who does good. There's none who does good. In fact, Jesus tells us there is no one good. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing the letter to the Romans, is addressing this reality. Romans chapter 3. What then? Let me back up. Romans 3 verse 9. Romans 3 verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their plans are ruin and misery. In the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been seen, manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This passage reminds us that every single one of us are sinful to the core. Now, we're not all as sinful as we could be. Not every person is committing sin to the complete level that they could. And will you find some glimpses of goodness in some individuals? Yes. You'll find even a sinful parent that will love their child. You'll find even a sinful individual apart from God, find them reaching out with compassion to a homeless individual when the temperature is 0 degrees. You will find the attributes, the being made in the image of God, even being displayed in individuals who are sinful. However, what does it take for an individual to enter into the presence of God? What is required of us that we might come before him, that we might go into his presence? Psalm 15 says this. Psalm 15, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? I mean, who can go into the dwelling place of God? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? So that's the question. How can we be in the presence of holy, righteous, almighty God? Verse 2 says, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right. So what is required for us to walk in the presence of God, to live in heaven with him forever, is complete and total perfection. Who walks blamelessly, meaning there is no wrong found in his actions, and everything that he does is right. The verse 2 of Psalm 15 goes on and says, and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. So he continues to go on to lay out an ideal perfection that is required in order for us to come before God. What we have to realize is that we'll never get there on our own because we are sinful people. In Psalm 16, verse 2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. That's what we've got to realize. There's nothing good in us apart from the Lord. However, what is great and gracious about God is that he sent Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, to go to the cross, to take upon himself the sin of all mankind and its consequences. The consequences of sin, being the wrath of God, was taken on by the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, so that you and I might be forgiven, so that we might have a relationship with God, so that we might walk not in our sinfulness, but that we might walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by his death, the death of his Son, much more than that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by this life. While we were enemies, we're reconciled to God by the death that is paid through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. What we gain by our living a life of sinfulness, that no one is right, no one does good, everyone does what is right in his own eyes. The wages, the cost, the penalty, what we receive as a result of that sin is death, eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God, catch that. That is not something you earn. Some of us think that, well, if I'm just good enough, if I put aside more bad things and take up more good things, if I can just earn it, if I can just be good enough. No, it's not ever being good enough. It is a free gift from God. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We don't do good things to be seen as good by God. We do good things because of the good God has done and is doing in us. This reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, that we are so dependent upon God's forgiveness of our sin and his empowerment for us to do what is right, what is honoring of him, what is making much of or glorifying God. We are not good people. We are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus alone is our Savior. Have you cried out to him for the rescue of your sinful soul? What about your neighbors and friends and family members? Have you told them this reality that they desperately need Jesus? And he has a free gift of salvation. I hope this devotion encourages you in your walk with the Lord and your desire to reach out to the lost around you. If there's any way I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you in that quest, you can reach out to us on our website at mumfordvillebaptist.org. Hope you have a great week. God bless.